Yeah, I think obviously it's a dream when you're a young kid. I think the moment where I realized I can really do this is when I got selected first into the WHL by Prince Albert. You realize that you got an opportunity at this, and you keep your head down and keep working, and you can maybe do it.
Jackson Rudolph, Sabres fourth overall pick, defenseman that'll be at the University of Denver this year.
Mm-hmm.
You can check him out. Jeremy and Joe, good morning, everybody. We're in the NHL offseason. We're also in the World Cup knockout stage. Congratulations to Canada, a stoppage time winner. Nice goal.
It was a nice goal.
Heck of a finish.
The shot like dropped underneath the goalie.
Yeah,
like on the bounced at the perfect time.
What's the soccer phrase they would say there? Not I don't know if that was clinical, but it was definitely quality. The finish.
Sure.
The finish certainly had quality.
Yeah. Wasn't quite cheeky, right?
No.
Cheeky's more like
a chip,
like a flick over chip. The.
There's flair.
The
there's something that's so bold you try it anyway. That's cheeky.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway,
Canada wins. It's their first knockout round ever because of 32. It also would have been their first ever time getting out of the group stage. So either way. Whatever the format is, this is their best World Cup ever.
Today, we got big games in the World Cup stage. How do you like the World Cup now getting to the NHL level of toenail offside undoes a goal on review?
Yeah. Well, no, it didn't undo a goal because they called it offside on the pitch.
Oh, you're right.
So
sorry.
They confirmed it by that. That was my biggest complaint with the complaining about that. Because it was like ridiculously close. Like, who cares? Right? Like, when they're showing the graphic and you could barely see and the guy's toe is in front. Had it been the other way, where they had called it a goal and then they reversed it on that, I would understand all the complaining. But what are they going to do? They can't overturn it.
Right. The difference is, I guess, in soccer, the goal the play continues, the goal gets scored.
Right.
If he
and
was.
That, and then the
and,
flag
right,
goes.
And
up,
in hockey. Yeah. If that official signals offside and on review it wasn't offside,
right.
There is no fixing
right.
that.
Because that
play's just dead.
You're right. That official, because he knows, like, I'm going to call this offside, but he's letting it play out in case he's wrong for the review. Where that'd be like in hockey, a linesman saying, it was really close, I think it's offsides, I'm going to let it go in case they score, in case I'm wrong, which I think would be crazy to do in hockey.
I think
because they could
probably do that.
You think they'll do that?
They
could be in the zone there for like 5 minutes,
don't
though.
They already maybe do that? If you're an official, you know, like if I let that one go because it's close, they can challenge.
Yeah.
Nobody's mad at me if I missed it.
Yeah.
When I challenge an offside call, I'm never mad at the official. I can't believe I have to challenge this call if it's close.
Right.
Anyway, Brazil-Japan today.
Maybe.
Germany-Paraguay and Netherlands-Morocco. That's your triple header at 1, 4:30, and 9. And Scotty Scheffler and Victor Hovland show up at a golf course and play sudden death.
They might only be one hole.
Yeah.
It could be like a quick. That happened one time while we were on the air. I think, was it the Players? What was Rory and Spahn?
That was the Players.
That
I'm pretty
players?
Sure the Players is a three-hole playoff.
Okay.
But
we knew it was over because Spahn hit it in the water.
Yes, Rory had a three-shot lead after the second hole. Like, it was over right away. But I'm pretty sure the Players is a three-hole playoff. But I could be wrong about that. Did you see all of the rain falling at the Travelers? And
I saw some of the videos of like how much water there was. Yeah.
That was the 100 holes on Thursday. That's what we played through.
I saw the picture Nate put up on Instagram of him just soaking wet, like the hair, everything.
If there,
the hair.
The picture of the Travelers, like, oh, there's a river going across that green. Yeah, like that.
Yeah, there was a fan that had like done like the slip and slide.
Yeah, there were definitely parts of the course
down
on Thursday we could have done that. Anyway, 803-0550 is our number, and 1-888-550-2550. The draft here in Buffalo, the decentralized draft. If anybody went and wants to give us a review, like how it was to be there, give us a call, 803-0550.
Because it looked tough at times on TV.
Yeah.
I was there.
You were there, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Joe's in the bowl.
I was in the bowl. And it was interesting, to say the least, the decentralized fashion.
Okay.
It was cool to be in the environment, I guess. One thing, like if you wanted to go just to say you were at an NHL draft. But I don't really, it didn't jive with me the same way like an NFL draft on TV does. And everyone who was watching on TV pretty much said the same thing. It was just kind of dry. They weren't really doing anything entertainment-wise. Bieber got a lot of boos in the arena when he showed up.
I heard that.
Because he didn't announce the pick the right way from what everyone said. So.
Well, I mean, he didn't also look like he had ever had any rehearsal or anything. That was,
no.
I saw that as a good takeaway. Someone tweeted that the NHL draft looks like a high school play that they never rehearsed. Like, nobody knew what they were. Bieber is walking down the middle of the couches, mm-hmm. and he's saying whatever. He's saying hi. And he looks up at Bettman. He's like, am I supposed to come up there?
Yeah.
You have the mic. The show has begun. Am I supposed to come up there? Have you guys practiced this at all? Bill Guerin is looking around. He has no idea what's going on. Like, they never practiced anything.
Well, then he says, Mr. McKenna, we'd like to draft you. And that's where everyone got up in arms about it.
That I don't mind. I guess that's fine. Whatever. Like, everyone knows what he means, right?
Yeah.
I just think it looks like they've never practiced anything before.
It's
when they do that.
It is wild. I mean, I did think that Bettman going out on stage with Josh Stone and Dawkins was funny and like really good.
Yeah.
Like, what'd he say? Like, now you don't know what to do because these guys are up here. Yeah. It's pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
Bettman leaning into the booze the way that you know, commissioners tend to do. That's fine.
I think he leans into it more than the others do.
I think he does too. I also think he gets booed more sincerely than the others.
Yeah,
other commissioners are just booing to boo. Maybe Adam Silver's catching a little bit more now. But
yeah.
Bettman is a legitimate, no, really, actually boo. Not just it's boo, but right. really boo.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
We don't like you.
Right.
Especially here. I know this. Like, it's almost like you should hold up a sign that says, my boo is not a joke. Right. I really don't like you.
Yeah. I was wondering if we were going to get, like, no goal chance while he was up on the stage.
And then not get that. The thing with Bill Guerin for GM of the year, like, what are these guys? They're a comedy act? They're a bit?
The first one wasn't on purpose, right?
Sure. But what did Bill Guerin win GM of the year for? Just training for Quinn Hughes?
Didn't he win it? Well, that's what they said. Didn't he win it because they won the gold medal?
Probably.
Isn't that why he probably won? Because they parameters. These voters don't care about parameters and hockey awards. Like, just he won the gold medal. Give him GM of the year. And he got Quinn Hughes, sure.
Yeah.
What would Minnesota do that they don't always do? Did they win a game in the second round? Did they get swept? Like, I don't know.
They lost in five. About him. They lost in five.
One other thing from the draft, if I may. I don't know if you were watching on TV. Did you see the whole trade alert thing that would happen?
So, well, it almost didn't happen, right? Like, it was very far into the draft. And then what was it? Bettman, like, would shout up to somebody who hit a button?
So, yeah, and it was just the Sabres goal horn at max volume, and all the lights would just flash white out at everybody in the thing, and it would just blow everyone's ears up and face up with
and
lights
be like,
and
there's
everything.
Been a trade?
Wait, yeah.
And it's like the Capitals are moving down two slots.
Yeah, Vegas was just moving back the entire first round. Wah! So, yeah.
We got one!
Yeah.
Here we go. Get strapping. The insiders have been telling you.
And then the trade was like, the Kings have moved up two spots.
The Calgary Flames are jumping up a couple picks. Like, that was it. So, yeah.
Jeez.
The trade alert was a little too big for its britches.
Well, we did rid ourselves of the awkward prospect interview where he's being interviewed by the team that just drafted him, but we replaced it with, like, a fireside chat.
Yeah, a couch. There was a leather couch on the side of the stage.
Yeah.
Right, with one of the ESPN reporters.
Yes.
I mean, they were it was better, I guess, than what they had done last year, but they have no idea what to do in these productions. I can't believe that thing is on, like, real ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not buried on some, like, the Ocho ESPN something.
No. Yeah, you went from Palpatine's throne room to the leather couch.
I mean, it was, yeah. It was strange.
803-0550 is our phone number. The draft, it's in the books, and now we off to free agency. Alex Tuck leaves.
Yeah, you were not here.
I was not here.
Nothing, so we lost our sense of Tuck meter.
I would say, just one quick little thing about Tuck leaving. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your time here. Thank you for what you did for the Sabres. He called leaving the Sabres one of the toughest decisions of his life.
Mm-hmm.
Made it pretty quick.
Well,
it made it pretty quick. That's all.
I mean, hasn't he been mulling it for a year?
I mean, what have you been mulling? If you're going to leave for
how different was their offer?
Are you
going to
leave for $5 more, $2 million more, $10 million more? What was the report the Sabres offer was? About $7 million less total?
Total, because they didn't even offer the eighth year.
Right. Sabres didn't want to go to an eighth year.
Right.
So it was just going to be, was the decision always, you know, I will leave for more money regardless of how much more money it is. He didn't go to a tax haven, right?
No.
That didn't happen.
No, I still would bet that he would have gotten more money from Seattle. They would have given him over $11 million per year.
And he just decides.
Like, I don't think he took the highest money offer. Okay. He took a better money offer, for sure. But
not that much better. It's, you know, $7 million-ish. What was it, $8 million-ish? It was
like about, what, like $1 million more per year with an additional year.
Okay.
So.
Just passing no judgment, just pointing out, you did make it pretty quick. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe that's the better way to make life decisions. In fact, it might be. Just to make the decision quickly. But right, what was the decision he made the whole time? Am I going to leave this franchise? And he goes to Washington. The Capitals, boy, there's a franchise right now that they're aggressively doing things, and you might wonder how smart it is for them to be aggressively doing things. They trade for Jordan Kyrou, and they get Alex Tuch. And do they have the rest of the stuff in place to contend?
I think they're weird. They just don't have centers. Which are kind of important.
You tend to need those.
Right, but they are amazing at wing. They are really good on the blue line, and they have a really good goaltender. They have everything else. They're, if you care about odds, to this morning, Eastern Conference winner odds, they're fourth. They're only behind Florida, Carolina, and Tampa. So, yeah, they should be good right away. How long will they be good is a question. I mean, are they just going all in because Ovechkin's only going to play for one more year and they are going to do whatever they can to win a cup in his final season and then not care what comes after that? Or are they thinking Ovechkin's about to leave, we need to start planning for what the next 4 years are going to look like after he's gone? So, contender-ish.
Okay.
I don't know that they're that different than what the Sabres would have been. Contender level. He didn't go to a better team.
No.
Let's put it that way. He did not go to a better team. He also didn't go to a bottom feeder. He went to a team that should probably make the playoffs, given that they also traded for Jordan Kyrou the day before.
803-0550. The NHL account. What do you think of the Sabres' new 23 and under core? Power, Zellweger, Kulik, Östlund, Benson, Hellenius, Mertka, Rudolph. I think the same thing I thought about the 23 and under core every year the last 10 years. They've always had a good 23 and under core, have they not? They're always flush.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are just their latest picks.
Some of them.
Some of those guys are except for Zellweger. All except for Zellweger. They're just the first round picks.
I'm sorry, the Sabres.
Yeah, the Sabres
picks.
23 and under core. It's all just first round picks?
Yeah. I thought you meant guys that like haven't played in the league.
Not that
yet.
Again, like not that I'm upset about that, but like I am ready for a year or two or three going forward where we think yes, they have a good young core, but it's not the headline anymore. And maybe it's not the headline like it used to be, but I am eager for something else to happen that shows they're trying to win the Stanley Cup this year, which they're definitely trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
But what move will make us all think that they're better other than just like, oh, the other guys will just be better players. You know, this guy will be better. This guy will be better. Hellenius will score 100 points. I got a new jersey, by the way, over the weekend for my birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah. 803-0550.
I think you got the jersey that is probably the most popular. Well, don't you think he's the most popular jersey purchase this summer?
Yes, probably. My wife heard me talking and telling the story how game two against Montreal when Benson got the Benny chant going for his one shift.
And then the only player that showed up that night.
And then I went to buy a jersey and they were sold out, so she bought me a Benson jersey.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. I think about it in terms of like the 7-year contract extension. So anyway.
Right. Yeah, you got a jersey of a guy who's here till 2033.
In theory. You just never know.
Yeah, it's true.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Paul Hamilton at 7 on the Sabres. And your calls throughout here on WGR.
Right, right.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, I'm done with it. Yep.
Block it out.
Yep.
Well...
We are through the hockey draft, but not through the whole busy section of the offseason. There was no, well, we had the trade earlier on Friday for the defenseman, but there was no biggie on Friday night. But here we are on Monday, and there still are Connor Hellebuck rumors and speculation. And I'm thinking of a conversation we had maybe not even a week ago. Do we take from what's being reported that they want him? And I still think yes.
I think yes is the answer there. I think Winnipeg wants to move him.
Yes, me too.
I think I think he wants to be moved, and I think the Sabres are absolutely still in on it. And I'm a little surprised, I guess, by that. I mean, the draft picks, like, you know, balking at whatever price might have been discussed or however it happened. I mean, all we know is that the trade did not happen on Friday night or over the weekend at all. And I mostly feel like when that comes and goes, like, I don't have the fourth pick anymore. I don't have the 20th pick anymore. Well, that's probably it on the trade. Like, one of those was surely going to be a part of the trade if it was going to happen. And now that those picks are, you know, they're actual players now, right, in the form of Rudolph and Morozov.
New names.
I mean, I guess you could trade those players. I don't know. Or just other stuff. It's funny. It was never my favorite idea when we talked about it. In fact, I said to me, it's going to be, can I do this for a forward or that for a defenseman? No. Okay, let's explore this goalie thing. And I don't know if that's the order that things went down in or not. Maybe they've just prioritized this move, and it's still the move that they would like to make, and just didn't find a price that they found palatable over the weekend. But now I'm sort of left hoping they can pull off a Connor Hellebuyck trade. Because I feel like they got to do something more. And I like the Zellweger kid. That sounds like a good enough idea to replace Byram to me. So, like, I'm okay there. I don't think there's anyone really out there. I mean, I guess there's still guys you could trade for forwards to try to replace Tuck, but I'm sort of settling into they are just going to go internal on that. And I feel like their attention is on goalie, and goalie should all be all that I'm hoping for, because I don't know that there's anything else to be done.
Well, you also have, if you want it, the other names like Larkin were not traded either.
Right.
So what does happen with him? What happens with the other big, the stars who, Robertson, you know, is that going to be an offer sheet? Is he just going to stay there? I mean, some of these guys, I think it was sounding like a trade was wanted, I mean, maybe by both the player and the team, but you didn't get it. So are we at a point now, maybe this will work out for the Sabres, where prices come down? I bet teams maybe kind of hammered him for that fourth pick once they got it, and they wouldn't come off it. Mm-hmm. They picked a player that for the many hours we spent talking about the draft, never once
up, right?
was mentioned.
Right.
I mean, who's that? I didn't even know who that was. You'd think I would, and I probably should have.
I had read, I wasn't watching. I was wrapped up in Ride for Roswell stuff, and thanks to everybody here, you specifically, for giving me the leeway to do all that. It was great. So I was playing,
wasn't my call.
So I was playing catch-up. You're the one I care the most about. I mean, I don't know. You're the one that's in the room with me every day.
I had no say in it.
Felt like I was letting you down. But anyway, I had read something earlier in the day that sort of indicated, hey, the Sabres are high on this guy. I don't remember. I don't think it was Chad. It might have just been a national guy I'd never heard of. But, like, this is a guy to keep an eye on. The Sabres like this guy. So I wasn't completely – it wasn't the first time I'd heard or seen the name. When I found out that he was the pick.
Okay. It was mine.
Yeah. But still, it's still somewhat surprising. I mean, there were, how many guys did we talk about with Steven Ellis on Thursday? Three or four defensemen, I think we talked about, and none of them were this guy. And he ends up being the first defenseman off the board, is how it went down.
The big name there was Chase Reed.
Right.
Who, I think I remember John Buchergross trying to tell you.
Yeah.
They're going to pick Chase
if
Reed.
He's
like
there,
he's Chris Berman now.
Right. If they have the pick, he's going to. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I guess not.
Right.
Good intel, though.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, you know, I got to admit, I was kind of bummed out on Friday night when I caught up and, now I'm watching and they're on the, they're going to make a pick at 20. Okay. Huh. Well, at least they didn't trade for Vincent Trocheck, which I
just like, not yet.
That is like the thing that I didn't want them to do the most. As much as I wanted some sexy Matthew Nyes, Jason Robertson, Connor Hellebuck, whatever, some trade idea, I really did not want them to pull the trigger on a Trocheck trade. And you're right to say that not yet. I mean, I guess that still could happen. If we're talking about Hellebuck, you'd still be talking about anything. But I hope that doesn't happen.
Well, they're really in the same position they were before the draft, other than
Zellweger.
Zellweger, but other than not having those picks to spend anymore,
right,
to use as currency. I mean, they're not going to do that, right? They're not going to draft these guys and then trade the guys, I think. So you have next year's picks. You have the same group of young, promising players, the Ostlins of the world who are still sitting around. You have the same holes. You can't take either of these first-round picks as replacements for Alex Tuch or Bowen Byram. I think the Anaheim defenseman is somewhat, in theory, in concept, he's a replacement
for Byram. Bet right now. Yeah, he certainly reads like that on paper.
I'm fine with that. I mean, that's
me too.
Let's just see. Did you have an opinion of him already? I did not.
Zellweger? No, not really. Okay. I had to read about him.
But you know, fast and young,
skilled, gifted, like puck mover. Like I think it fits, and really right. Needs to brush up on his defensive zone awareness. That sort of reads like Byram. At you know, we'll see what the contract comes in at. He's an RFA, but it's probably half price Byram from his old deal. Even not even what he's going to get. You know, once July 1 comes around and Chicago can sign him to a new contract. But yeah, this kid might come in around between 3 and 4 million. I might hope. So they
have the same work to do mostly.
Yeah,
as we go into this week. The draft is over, and they mostly have the same work to do. Figure out someone for Tuck, and you need it like just to reset the conversation, to not be someone who's already on the team.
Ideally, yeah. But I, like I said at the outset here, my focus has shifted to Hellebuck, and I sort of feel – and that might be a mistake. I mean, they could still make a – you know, DeBrusk is still out there. There's a guy in Seattle that Chad has written about, but they didn't get Tuck, and that I think his logic was like this guy McMahon becomes expendable if they get Tuck, and they didn't get Tuck, so I don't know what's going to happen there. But so they could still fortify that, but I don't know, the smoke around the goalie thing, the fact that Elliot Friedman is still talking about it on the Monday following the draft, just tells me that's probably where our attention should be. I think
I agree with that.
So, you know, if they do something to supplement the forward group, great. Depending on what it is, you know, and I'm not gonna love everything. I didn't love this Trocheck idea that who knows could still be out there, unless it's a replacement for someone who goes in the Hellebuck trade, right? Like if for some reason Winnipeg wants, and the Sabres might want to include some money in that, in addition to Luukkonen. So maybe if Ryan McLeod is, you know, a part of a trade package for anyone, but Hellebuck specifically I'm thinking about, well, then maybe I have a need for someone like Trocheck.
What do you think the fan reaction is going to be if they put something together for him? One of the guys that we're really excited about, maybe Mirka, Luukkonen, and maybe next year's draft, something, I mean, that's sizable. And, you know, maybe it tips based on what that package is, but one of our young studs, goalie X, for him. Are fans going to be into it?
I think probably yes.
I think it's pretty split.
I think that there's always, I think a lot of the people that would be, I don't want to trade for a big name goalie, I don't want to trade for a big name goalie, will go, we got a big name goalie. Like, you know, I think a lot of people will turn. Some of that camp that would be like, not, I don't want to pay a goalie big money. I don't want to spend assets on a lot of he's on my team now. Did you see him in the Olympics? Like, I think that plenty of people will get swept up in that. But now I don't think it'll be unanimous at all. It's a goalie. There's people are dug in about what that, you know, how good a bet that could be.
And he's on the older side, and he's had playoff failures. You know, right. He's not perfect,
right?
As an idea, so I think it'll be pretty split if they were to do that. But I still think, as I did last week, that, and this is usually easy for me because I tend to fall for everything that comes along. That, okay, well, why are they talking to Winnipeg and, you know, Bobrovsky or whoever else, goaltenders, if they didn't want one of them? Like, why would they even bother? A lot of teams, you don't see Boston mentioned, for example, right, in any of these conversations because they have a guy they like, and that's obvious. But the Sabres are. And I think it's fairly obvious why they would want to with how the season ended. As we talked about last week, I could see Jarmo Kekalainen and company in a boardroom. Maybe he doesn't have to be at the stadium. Are they still in there? Are they still out?
I think they came out.
If it's nicer, it's nicer. I mean, I guess just sort of hang out until they kick you out. Wherever they are, talking about goaltending as the one area where they need to be different. And this is an opportunity that would pretty easily seem to allow for that if you get Connor Hellebuck. So, yeah, I think, as you said, as this week starts, the focus is, I think, there. And I think we can talk with the same sort of enthusiasm about all the possibilities as we did last week. Because Nye's too. Like, nobody went.
Mm-hmm.
The first round came along as awkward as ever, as a entertainment vehicle and a broadcast, as awkward as ever. For some reason, the National Hockey League draft is just always weird. Does it just have to be? Gary Bettman cannot help himself. Like, it's just always so awkward.
Yeah.
And I think he must love it. I think he must love doing it. And I mean, it's just like the cringy, oh, you gotta love the enthusiasm when the fans are booing him. Nobody's laughing.
Right.
It's not funny at all. Just like he's doing his best to try to diffuse whatever embarrassment. But I don't know. Justin Bieber could not even name. I mean, he didn't even announce McKenna. He just, Mr. McKenna, eventually. Did you hear that?
No, I did not.
Oh, my gosh.
I did not.
Bettman doesn't name Bieber.
I've just seen pictures of Bieber all over town.
Listen, yeah.
That I don't think are real.
Listen to that sentence. Bettman doesn't name Bieber. Like, the reports came out during the day. Emily Kaplan, quote, a major A-list celebrity.
Right.
And I was enjoying thinking about, like, who that couldn't be. Brian Koziol mentioned Tiger Woods. Like, would Tiger Woods qualify? And I said no. Not that he has any connection to the Leafs anyway.
Right.
It was never going to be Tiger Woods. But no, a major A-list has to be on a level up from, you know, right now, not 20 years ago,
mm-hmm,
but from Tiger Woods. So Bieber and Drake were the two names that I think were the possibilities.
Right.
And Bettman introduces Justin Bieber, but he doesn't say his name. I'm in the car. Like, I'm not looking at it.
Right.
So I think I would recognize Justin Bieber, yeah, but not everybody would.
Right.
You know, you got to name him, doesn't?
Yeah, you usually do. Yeah.
What is it about this guy?
I don't know. Something happened when Guerin won the GM of the Year thing.
Yes.
The mic didn't work when he was supposed to talk, and then they went back to it. And when they went back to it, it was right before the Sabres were picking 20th, because I was really paying attention, waiting for that pick. That pick was the finish line for my night. Like, are they going to make this pick? Are they going to trade this pick? I got to get up at 4 in the morning to go ride a bike 40 miles. What's happening? And he's waiting for the something to happen on the video screen. It seemed like forever. I'm sure it was only like 20 seconds. But there was this time where he's just staring at the screen, and the screen's blank. And I'm like, what are we doing here? Can you make this run a little more seamlessly?
He was orange.
And then he,
by the way,
eventually there's
Phil Guerin. He was orange or red, even red, I would say. So yeah, that didn't work. When there were two looks at him eventually when they got that fixed, and when it was just a shot of that room he was in, he looked like a normal person. But when it was, you know, over the fireplace, the fake fireplace or whatever, like, he was red.
Yeah.
And I don't think they wanted that either. But
no, probably not.
He's the GM of the year? Great.
Yep. Sure.
Sure.
Quinn Hughes trade.
Yeah.
That's it.
In the Olympics.
Yep.
Anybody else we can give awards to that just haven't won anything in a while? We got to make sure to do that.
Right.
Yeah. So you could tell us out there how you would react to the Sabres trading for Connor Hellebuyck, because if you're listening and paying attention to what we're talking about, Bulldog and I both think like that might still happen, and it does kind of read like the Sabres want it to. But, you know, we'll see how it ends. Maybe to their credit, they are waiting this out. You know, it's interesting negotiation stuff.
I got to give them a lot of credit to not, because I knew this was not the smartest way, is the way I think I want to say it, to view that fourth pick. I would have had a very hard time not having that pick burn a hole in my pocket.
Yeah.
You know, I just would have, I came here to buy a car today. You know, that's the sort of, that would have been me. And I know that that's not what you want to do. You want to protect, you know, the value of the asset just because it fell in your lap sort of surprisingly, at least from out here. I don't know how surprised the Sabres were that they got that pick for Byram or as part of the Byram return. But I could have easily spent it on anything that wasn't exactly worth it. And I want to respect that they didn't do that, even though, you know, we don't have some shiny new hockey player to play on the Sabres right now. We got, you know, we got draft picks. And those can, you know, this Rudolph kid's going to go play in Denver. Like, they're going to be in the national title conversation, whether they get there or not. I mean, there's hockey games to be played, but they're a powerhouse team year over year over year. So he's going to be, I mean, he's got an opportunity to have a great year and maybe roll right into the NHL. And that's pretty exciting. You know, maybe so the runway won't be that long. He said already, I think he's shooting for being in the NHL after playing a year of college.
But that could even be like this season, right? As opposed to
Guess after the year ends. Yeah, yeah. He could do the
Boston had a guy.
He could. Yeah, right. Hagans. Yeah, he could. Yeah, even if he plays in the national championship game, there's still runway after that.
Like a lot.
Yeah.
You know, if they're making a playoff run, there could be a couple months.
I'm pretty sure Makar went to the Avalanche after winning the national title at UMass.
He's not that good.
Maybe it took until the playoffs, but he played that spring for Colorado.
We have a 5 o'clock deadline for RFAs today. Peyton Krebs among them, and the new acquisition Zellweger. We'll see if they complete me. Him.
Good one.
I'm just going to keep using that.
Good job there.
Six players in total. Krebs would be the biggest. Of course, he'll be qualified.
I think those two for sure get qualified, and I don't really know about any of the others, like how important they are organizationally.
Yep.
They're very much guys that are down the depth chart, I think. So, you know, nothing would surprise me, but maybe the thing I'd expect the most is Krebs and Zellweger, and maybe that's it on the qualifying offers.
Well, on Hellebuyck, as I'm asking and we're talking, just sort of how does it feel? I both would expect to be bummed out about what they gave up, especially if it's Hellenius or Mertka, both. I mean, I would... Not Luukkonen. I'm ready to be done there, but I would be sad about the two very promising, whoever, if it's this, promising players that the Sabres would have to trade, probably, if they were to do it. But at the same time, I would be super excited for the season. You know, that's kind of how trades can be. You can't just always be happy with all of it. You have to give to get.
Ouch. Right.
So there should be some pain if they are to do it. Are you hoping that Florida saves them from themselves or even some other? Does it matter if it's Florida or some other team ends up outbidding the Sabres for Hellebuyck so that you can be spared this particular pain?
Yeah, I think I already alluded to, it feels, and again, this doesn't have to be the case, but it feels like the only move left to me, which kind of makes me want it. Like, again, I'm the guy that fourth pick was going to be burning a hole in my pocket. Like, I want action. I thought I was going to get action. And, you know, like Wednesday night, Wednesday night, the Byram trade happens. You get all that return dribs and drabs. Eventually, you get it all. Like, I'm up until midnight waiting to see what else is going to happen. And then I woke up at 4 in the morning the next day. Like, I can't wait to look. Like, what's next? And so the juice that I'm seeking really is represented by Hellebuck at this point, which makes me want him more than I did last week at this time.
Mm-hmm. But is that how it should work?
Probably not.
You don't want, as I believe it was W.C. Fields who said, you can't be a slave to the juice.
Mm.
You don't want to be a slave to, was it him? Was it someone else? Was it Robert Frost? Who was it that said, you don't want to be a slave to the juice?
Plato.
Plato, right. Those guys just were copycats. Plato. We have Warren Sharp today.
Hey now.
Get some football in. He's got his annual, you know, thorough, vast topics are covered. His book is out, and the Almanac. We'll talk to Warren at 4 o'clock.
Well, I still think Winnipeg and Buffalo are talking. I don't think that's over yet.
Because there felt like there was a lot of noise leading into the first round of the draft Friday that at some point that night he could be moved.
Well, I'll say this. I had heard on Friday he was willing to waive to go to Buffalo. I don't know if that was ever formally submitted, but I'm 100% convinced he was willing to waive to go to Buffalo. I think I heard there were a few options. And the fact that he was willing to go to Buffalo indicated to me that he wanted a team that he thought over the next 3 years would be a consistent contender.
It is NHL insider Elliot Friedman on his 32 Thoughts podcast talking about Connor Hellebuck, the Winnipeg Jets, and the Buffalo Sabres.
Hearing that it still could be a discussion. Look, I'm still not necessarily on team add goaltender. I'm not. It's kind of far down my list. But it's not just the weather that's hot. Knowing that the Sabres are in on this and still could be in on this, it's fun to talk about at the very least. I may not necessarily agree with the premise, but I'm not going to be mad if you do it.
No, and I've said that, I think, since the start with the Hellebuck rumors of, like, look, if I wake up the next day and Hellebuck's the starting goaltender for the Buffalo Sabres, I'm going to be happy. It does depend on the asking price, right? If they did give up 4 overall, UPL, and then 2 players, I don't know if I'm happy. I think there is a feeling of, like, oh, no, what have you done? Have you maybe squandered the insane value you got for Bo Byram by kind of doing the same thing for Connor Hellebuck? But if they're able to get that asking price down, if it is going to be, like, Mirka, UPL, McLeod. Okay, I can really get behind this. If Josh Norris is thrown in there, okay, I can get behind this. There are still going to be discussions of should they add a top 6 forward. I think that's completely fair.
That's still the one thing. And I said it all weekend with you, Zach. It is the one checkbox that I can say I'm more comfortable with the kids if I need to do it that way. Defense, you had to go out of house.
Mm-hmm.
Goalie, if you are going to upgrade goaltender, you're not getting that done in your system.
It's not going to be Levi.
It's not possible.
Yeah.
Like, it's not possible. And the forwards? I can get production from the other kids at the forwards. Why? They showed it to me. There's a 7-game series against Montreal where Alex Tuck gets you 0 points. If I go ahead and say comfortably, I've got Zach Benson consistently in a higher role, so you'll get more point production from him. And I've got Konsta Helenius getting into the lineup. And I've got Noah Oslin getting into the lineup. And even Yuri Kulik coming back from blood clots. Zach, that's enough talent to replace Alex Tuck within the aggregate. Because they have an aggregate. At defense, they didn't have that. They needed to go outside the system, add Crevier, add Zellweger. Goalie, you don't have that at all. It's UPL might be your best goaltender, and I know that I just made some people throw up upon hearing that.
It's Lukanen, Lyon,
Ellis, and Levi.
your
four are, because Levi is still part of the organization. Yep. It is Luukkonen, Lyon, Ellis, Levi. That is the depth chart, and that is the quality of goaltender. It doesn't help that Alex Lyon's last game as a Sabre, he allowed 3 goals on 4 shots. Luckily for him, the Sabres got to continue the series.
Yeah, what a
wild game that was. But
a rough ending for Lyon, I think, especially because what that game does turn into, which is a rout. I mean, the Sabres blow out Montreal.
Yeah, but it turns into a rout for the team that
had to pull their goalie.
Had to pull their goalie.
Because it's the same with 13 seconds. I'll eventually have the courage to like rewatch at least the condensed versions of those Montreal games.
I can watch them. I'm steel cage at this point.
Dude, being at dinner, because that was the day my brother graduates from college, got his master's degree. So the family was out there. And each corner of the table had the game on, paying attention to it. But at a certain point, it was put the phone away. It's over. Put the phone away. We're going to enjoy family time. It's going to be really – it's a positive day. And then you get the notification like, oh, they scored. Oh, good for them. They're not going to go meekly into the night. And then as it went on, it went – not only they tied it, they've taken the lead. Excuse me?
The first goal is Arbor Chekaj. And it's a muffin off of a face-off.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at that and going, oh, that's not good. You've got to stop that. It was a sign of things to come for Lyon that night. But the last one is they score shorthanded because the power play does old power play things. Gives up the shorthanded goal and Lukanen's in. And I go, all right, well, there goes Alex Lyon for the rest of the postseason. Well, now can the Sabres actually get out of this thing? Because it's only 3-1 at that time.
Yeah.
It's just if you kept Lyon in any longer, it was going to get worse.
Well, it became almost early in that season.
Lindy Ruff correctly diagnosed.
Yeah.
Okay, you don't have it.
Early in the series, we thought that was maybe going to happen with Dobish. That the Sabre, I mean, Hellenius' first goal of the playoffs is it his first goal? It's the stinker
it's
where
his first goal,
he turns around, just fires it from the faceoff circle, and it goes in. It's like, I mean, yeah, but ugh. It was not an impressive goal by any means, but that was the night Dobish was having. Lindy, I think, correctly predicted, or we think correctly predicted. We actually don't know. Lyon doesn't have it tonight. Let's pull him. We're still in this game. Montreal stuck with Dobish, and it winds up being wonderful for them because he does lock in past the first period. It is a grind for the Sabres.
I was going to say, are you mixing your games up?
No, Dobish has that moment where it's like if they can put a fourth one past him, he's probably done. But Luukkonen also was giving up a bad night, and they're able to keep Dobish in.
Yeah.
But Montreal, though, does keep him in, and he locks it down.
Right.
And for the next two periods, it's a grind for the Sabres.
Yeah, it does help that in that moment when Dobish is shaky, so is Luukkonen in that other game five.
And it's game five, yeah.
At game six, it's just very quickly, you've given up 3 goals on shots in a row. I got to get you out of here. You don't have it. Let's see if we can save the season. And they do. And Luukkonen, over those two games in Game 6 and Game 7, is good enough to help them have the chance that they do. Yes, knuckle puck. Yes, want a save. No, they're all ugly in overtime.
It does seem to be the constant theme is that every overtime goal will absolutely send you into overdrive.
Very rarely is a goal given up that's a pretty one in overtime. You don't get Barclay Goodrow against Vegas for San Jose, where he walks in all alone and it's a pretty move by a fourth liner. So, ready? Say that's the goal. It's a breakaway by a fourth liner and you give that up. Are you mad that it's a breakaway goal because the defense screwed up, or are you mad that the goalie gave up a breakaway goal to a fourth liner that doesn't have a lot of scoring touch?
A lot there.
There's a lot to unpackage there.
There's a lot there.
And that's for poor Marc-Andre Fleury to have to deal with.
803-0550, the number to call. Let's go to the phones, and we'll also read some of your tweets as well. Caden is up first here. Caden, how are we doing this morning?
Doing good, guys. Thanks for having me on. I was just calling in to talk about the Hellebuck thing. I think I think Winnipeg really kind of made a mistake. I think his price kind of got driven down just a little bit, or not down, but I think it changed because now
I thought they got greedy. Yeah,
gone.
Yeah,
yeah, they got greedy. On and then he obviously the rumors are like confirmed and true, like he's willing to leave, and I personally think Buffalo is a way better scenario. You can't get any worse than what it is in Winnipeg. In Buffalo there's a lot more room to grow, So yeah, I think that's my thoughts on that. And then other than that, I think we need to get a top six forward or something, because part of me is uncomfortable with Jack Quinn being in the top six right now. But thanks, guys.
Caden, good to hear from you, man. Thanks for the call. Nick tweeting in kind of the same thing, although he's more looking at can't trade Quinn, because that was originally part, or it seems to be originally part of the deal
reported
that was rumored
ask, yep.
over the weekend, saying can't trade Quinn and lose talk and expect the kids to feel that much offensive loss. I tend to agree more with Nick. Quinn, I sort of came around with in the second half of the year, where it was, okay, he's going to be that guy that's a middle six forward. He's going to get around 20 goals a year. If he stops hitting the post, he may even hit 30. It'd be unbelievable. But in the playoffs, once he got going, he was maybe the only guy going on his line for a little bit there. But once it was happening for him, he looked dangerous. There is something there. Can they improve on it? Absolutely. But I think where they are right now, I don't want them to have to force the issue. And so, like, Quinn, funny enough, is actually a big sticking point for me in that deal. And then, Derek, you brought up, I think, what is going to be just a constant conversation among Sabres fans, or at least something that's always in the back of our minds. What is Jiří Kulík? I know the Sabres have a ton of faith in him. Lindy Ruff has openly said the plan was for him to eventually be their 1C. The Sabres talk about him glowingly. I think Jarmo, when bringing up the young players, mentions Kulik's name first. But we just do not know. It's not that necessarily blood clots are going to, you know, significantly hamper his
career. I
was going
to just give you some evidence to the opposite of that.
Right. Victor Wembanyama has his entire second season cut short because of blood clots. It's more for me is when it does happen, I don't have a season of 30 goals, 65 points to lean on with Kulík. I have an ascending player. I have a guy that looks like he is coming, but I don't have that, I don't want to say moment, just season to hang my hat on and go, guys, what do you mean we have Jiří Kulík coming back? I don't know. It's no disrespect to him. We just don't know what he is actually going to be. And then you do add on the fact that he hasn't played hockey really in about a year. I know he's been skating for quite a while. I mean, he was skating by himself during the playoffs. But is he even going to start in Buffalo? The Sabres may have him start in Rochester just to kind of get ramped up. We don't know.
There's a recent example, as a matter of fact, with blood clots. Because the first player I thought of was TJ Oshie.
Oshie had them
and still was the same TJ Oshie after that. Like you said, we don't know what Kulík necessarily is, but in his young career, he's about a half a point a game player, right? Secondary scoring type, chipping it in, adding to the score sheet. Your most recent example, though, is Brock Besser. Besser develops blood clots during the playoffs in 2024. Over the past 2 years, Besser has been good, but not... He's kind of more or less the same Brock Besser. The blood clots happen, though, in a career year.
I was going to say, like, that's... He's more or less continuing to what he did before.
The
40-goal
exactly,
season is the anomaly.
And could that have been a player deciding to make his ascent and then blood clots slow him down?
Right.
There's where your questions could actually form on this. But it's not very common that we hear about athletes with blood clots, but the good news is the two examples I can present to you are players that ultimately do remain productive in their careers. So I don't think it's going to slow him down. As long as he's medically cleared, good to go. And if that means that Kulík is a Brock Besser or TJ Oshie, guess what? Teams have success with players like that up and down their lineup.
803-0550, the number to call. Real quick, one more tweet here before we take our next time out. Eric saying, one of the things Jarmo said at the end of the year press conference was the need to fix the back end of the lineup. Heading Hellebuck would probably do it, I think, as well. In some ways, replacing Byram and maybe even getting better in your third pair sets Hellebuck up for about as much success as he could have as well. There's not many better situations for Hellebuck to have that sort of second half of his career than in Buffalo. The blue line seems to be a complete strength of the team. It even without Byram, still probably one of the best in the sport. They have a Norris finalist as their captain. And now the fourth overall pick is a defenseman as well for them. So the blue line and the additions they've already made does set up, I think, very, very well. And maybe be one of the reasons why Hellebuck was willing to waive his no-trade clause is that he looks at Buffalo and goes, I can probably get back to Vezina winning caliber there.
It also, and I know we got to get a break, it also might be, hey, the recruiting maybe of one Tage Thompson getting to work.
One can only hope. 803-0550, the number to call. We've also got World Cup soccer today. We had a big moment yesterday. We'll get to that as well as we roll along here on a Monday. It is going to be a hot one out there. Stay hydrated. This is WGR.